time. Now, live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we've got an exclusive interview with English rugby captain Will Carling about his unconventional relationship with Lady Di Kilonic. Mick has some advice on how to tackle a grizzly bear. We unveil what we hope will become Australia's longest-running sitcom. And on Radio Gladiators, could you be the next Barry White? We'll find out. We've also got the Fumio Awards, foolish behaviour, and popping in for a bit of loose talk, it's comedian Rachel Berger. Yes, it's all coming up on the program where nary a word of sense is spoken. Martin Malloy. Welcome to the final Martin Malloy for the week, people, with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, the host of the ABC's new look National 7:30 report, Mick Malloy, who'll be bringing a touch of cheesecake to the staid world of current affairs with political correspondent Nikki Buckley, finance reporter Joe Bailey, sports with Anki from Sweden, foreign correspondents, those babes from The Price is Right, and weather with Laurie Oakes on a G-string. Good on you, Mickey.
And I'm going to host it in a dress. In footy show tradition.
Is that right? Yeah. Isn't that great that, you know, the footy season's coming to an end? Mm. And, you know, that's bad news, really, I suppose, for people who like footy. But good news for people who don't like to see footballers in a dress.
That's correct.
It's going to be a whole year now, isn't it? But let's get things underway with, let's take a trip to Mick Malloy's Celebrity Corner.
Thank you, one and all, and thanks for joining me on this very fine Friday for Mick's Celebrity Corner. Big hand for Gracie on piano again. You wouldn't know he had stumps for hands, would you? All right, down to business. Now, as you may have heard, rugby captain Will Carling has been told to pack his bags and clear out by his wife, who's had enough of his unconventional relationship with Princess Diana. We've got him on the line now. Will Carling, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, mate. How are you doing?
Not too badly. Yourself?
Hard to say. I'm just waiting for the late edition of The Sun to come out. That should give me some idea.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, how's Princess Diana taking this?
Actually, she's in the bathroom at the moment, vomiting.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't tell me those bulimia rumours are true.
No. She just got back from that Pavarotti concert. She went backstage and unfortunately walked in on him in the nude.
I see. Now, how did your wife find out about you two? Were you photographed together?
No, I tend to stay off the Stairmaster at the gym when she's using it.
Right.
I think it was just little things. I'd say around the house, you know, the wife would say, pass the sugar, darling, and I'd reply, yes, your highness, that kind of thing. She found an old Wham cassette in the car. One night on the news, they showed that footage of that Down syndrome kiddie giving Diana a hug, and I accidentally shouted out, oi, get your hands off my bird. You know, little slips like that, you know, I think that did it.
Right, and what was the final straw?
I think it's just a really tricky situation when you have to tell your wife that when she meets your mistress, she's going to have to curtsy.
And what now? Do you anticipate a happy future with Diana?
Yeah, I can, you see, because we're a very simple couple. You know, we can have a great weekend, just the two of us, an open fireplace and the colonic irrigation equipment.
Right.
We just kick back, relax, and the butlers fire up the bilge pump. It's bloody fantastic.
I see.
I've never felt so free, Mick.
Yeah. If I could change the subject, we've been hearing something about a limerick she read out at a literary awards lunch.
Yeah, it's great. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
It goes like this. Hang on. There is a young lady from Buckingham. The press, she's continually ducking them. But now they've found out that she's met this great lout, and for some time she's been sneakily...
Well, thanks for that, Will.
Well, I've got to go, Mick. Sorry, I've got a 6-hour rugby practice session.
With the team?
No, with Lady Sarah Ferguson. She's murder on the forward line.
SAFM.
It was Kiss. Elementary with Kiss This Thing Goodbye here at Martin Malloy. And Mick, something we haven't talked about on the show this week. There's been a lot of news about Australians getting into trouble overseas with grizzly bears. Now,
yep.
What do you make of it?
Well, it's an amazing little story, Taylor. For those of you who don't know, I'll bring you up to speed. Two Australians in Canada have survived what has been described as an unprovoked grizzly bear attack.
Mm.
Well, I'm glad they didn't provoke it. There's far too much of that going on these days, Tone. When I first heard about it, I thought maybe they'd gone up to the Bears and started flicking them with wet towels.
Oh, they hate that.
Oh, they do. But the guys were asleep in their tent in a national park when the Bears ripped it open, tore their sleeping bags apart and went the maul. The men described the ordeal as horrific and said the Bears only retreated when one of them threw a rock that hit one of the Bears in the nose. Now, that's Tone, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've always been taught that in the event of a Bear attack, you should play dead.
Right.
Hello? I don't think so. Here we've got some highly agitated Bears emptying the contents of sleeping bags like they're a packet of chips. Bugger that. If they ever come for me, I'll be piffing yonnies before I lie down and take a nap, thank you very much. Authorities asked the men to describe the Bears, and this is interesting. They reckon they all look pretty much the same, except for the ringleader, who was wearing a waistcoat and a hat.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I don't think I need to tell you, he was getting up to all manner of strife.
But he was.
You know what I'm thinking? Humphrey. He's a naughty little fella. Does that sound to you like the actions of a fun-loving bear, Tone?
Well, not really.
No, it doesn't, does it? But it got me thinking. And God knows why. It got me thinking.
And hang thought, on, are we about to take a bit of a leap?
Oh,
do I hear the sound of a long bow being drawn?
We're going sideways, son. Strap yourself in. See you at the other side. It got me thinking, and I thought, if it was Humphrey, that'd be about the only television personality who could get away with that, really, isn't he? Don't you think? There aren't too many others. Humphrey, you know, could probably rip your tent down and go them all.
Yeah, yeah.
But there aren't too many others. You know, imagine, say, you're kipping down for the night and there's a rustle in the bushes and next thing you know, the chef from Healthy, Wealthy and Wise is just going to town in your tent.
Mm.
You wouldn't be up to it, would you?
No.
Very frightening. Who else? Can you think of anyone else?
Oh, our own Pete Smith.
Oh, you'd just think he'd come home pissed again after a night in the tiles.
Ray Martin. What about Ray?
Hand me the rocks.
Mike Munro, lovable Mike Munro.
Oh, imagine that. Mike Munro ripping your tent down. For a minute, you'd think you were the subject of this week's This Is Your Life. Mind you, that notion would disappear pretty quickly when he started chowing down on your fibula. You'd be thinking, hey, what happened to warm and fuzzy, pal? That'd be frightening, wouldn't it? Mike Munro could tear down a tent with a couple of bears inside and I guarantee they'd whoop their strides.
SAFM.
Tonight, don't miss the premiere of a brand new comedy series, The Wedgies. They're a knockabout family of larrikins who just can't resist the opportunity to grab a handful of underpants and go the Yank Fest. This week, The Wedgies enjoy a family get-together and the underderps are sure to fly.
Hi, Mr. Wedgie.
Hello, young Kevin. Oh, look, I've dropped my pipe.
Oh.
You wouldn't be able to pick that up for me, would you, little fella?
Sure. Oh, Mr. Wedgie. Oh,
Wedgie!
It's a case of better in than out in the underpants department round at the Wedgies.
Yes, I think it's the carburetor causing the problem. I can't quite reach it. Darling, would you pass me a rag?
Well, these two.
What?
Wedgie!
Don't miss the eye-watering action as Grandpa drops by for a visit.
Dad, is it true Grandpa's underpants are the size of a doona?
Yes, son, but I want you on your best behaviour. Grandpa's not well, so no wedgies.
Oh, Dad!
You heard me. Hello, Grandpa.
Hello, son. Oh, I think I've lost a contact lens.
Would that be it?
Where?
Wedgie!
Sorry, kids. Couldn't help myself. With the whole family together, this promises to be a Christmas dinner long to be remembered.
All right. Now, before we eat, let's all pull the Christmas bonbons.
Sorry, darling. I forgot to get them.
Oh, dear. That's a shame. Any ideas?
We could do what we did last year.
That's a great idea, son. Okay, everybody, on the count of three. One, two, three.
Wedgie!
Oh, for wedgies. They'll crack you up with their up-the-crack antics.
I'm coming to bed now, darling.
Ooh, and you're wearing that sexy lingerie I love.
Is it turning you on?
Ooh, baby, give me a closer look.
You like?
Like I...
Come to me, that's the artist formerly known as Johnny Diesel here at Martin Malloy. And in the next hour, Rachel Berg is going to be popping in for a bit of a chat.
Excellent.
And also Radio Gladiator's on the way. But I see it's Friday, Mick, so that means, as always, it's time to award this week's Fumio to the individual whose behaviour has provided us with the most material over the last 5 days. The Fumios this week, well, they were to be hosted by Gary Sweet, but unfortunately he's still out the back polishing off a slab and struggling into a frock, so we'll just have to forge on. And this week's nominees are, for the second week running, John Howard, whose billboard of debt has been so fraught with disaster, I understand it's just been fitted with a keel and for the next America's Cup.
The country of New Zealand, whose series of underground explosions hasn't raised the ire of Greenpeace, but has sure got some ski enthusiasts hopping mad.
Oh dear. The Sydney ad agency account executive who accidentally programmed a mobile phone billboard to attack the credibility of a witness at the Police Royal Commission. Keep an eye out for her next campaign. It's a good time for the great taste of Supergrass BL163, your dead meat.
The Pope, whose antics in the Popemobile could lead to fresh charges of lewd behaviour.
But no, I'm afraid, Mick, the Fumio goes to...
It goes to the brains behind the Optus Vision halftime entertainment at last weekend's Rugby League Grand Final.
Yes, well deserved. And Mick, here he comes now to accept his award. Look, Mick, he's being lowered inside a giant television.
Tone, does that look safe to you?
Oh, but wait, Mick, he's emerging from the rubble.
Yes, but he is on fire.
Oh, and here come the balloons. Oh, but he's still going to attempt a speech.
Yep, he's grabbing the microphone.
This is Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy and Mickey, I believe there's a bit of good news in the family.
There is, Tone, and I'm chuffed. I'm absolutely chuffed because my eldest sister, Christine, on Friday, when was it? Oh, a couple of days ago now.
It's Friday today.
Spent all day in the hospital wrestling and sweating and writhing. At the end of the day, punched out a brand new spanking hot to trot, ready to roll baby boy named Max.
Is that right?
And it's great. So good luck to you, Christine and Vince. Congratulations and good on you, Maxie boy.
Now, what? It's not talking like Max Walker already.
Not at this, this stage, but that's something to look for.
Geez, I tell you what, that was some trip right there.
Mate, I'm coming out and I tell you, it's nice and curled up and warm in the womb, but then as I come out,
I tell you what.
But what did he look like? What's he look like, this Max? Maybe any family resemblance there happening?
Have you seen the X-Files, Tone? There was an episode where they performed this alien autopsy, and I swear, you couldn't tell the difference.
I hope Christine's listening.
I'm sure she will be.
And did you get Max a prezzy?
I put along a present, a carton of Winnie Blues, which I'm hoping to share with him on the weekend when we get the tattoo done.
You're all heart, Mick Malloy, but enough of this banter. It's time for business. It's time for...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Now, we all know that the segment's brought to you by 4&20 Pies and that the prize they've turned on is a Sony Discman, which is a kind of a very small stereo that you can put CDs in, and you can go for a jog and you can just be wearing it.
It's great. Wouldn't it be great if women could give birth to 4&20 Pies? You'd be there, wouldn't you? Like, you know, you, the whole family would be there, not just the husband, everyone. You know, you'd be, push!
It's a great push! Idea. It's a great idea, but I reckon we should leave it there.
Okie dokie.
Now, let's get straight to the challenge, because there's a lot to explain here. Because as listeners to the program would probably be aware, Mick and myself are big fans of the work of one Barry White. Mm-hmm. Now, in fact, there was a bit of Barry in that sketch earlier, the thing, the wedgies thing. Yeah, right. So in case you're not familiar with Barry's style, it goes a bit like this.
Take it all.
There's Barry there.
Take it all.
Yes. He's quoting Noel Crichton Brown, I think, in this one.
I don't want to feel no clothes.
Don't want to feel no clothes. Mm.
I don't want to see no panties.
Especially not if they're yours, Barry.
And take off that brassiere, my dear.
Yes, yes, take off that brassiere and get back on the footy panel. Thank you. Thank you, Barry. That's the style. And what we want you to do, people, is call up and give us a bit of Barry White. Now, obviously, you don't have to go as deep as Barry because nobody has that much testosterone, really. Mm. And we want you to do a bit of a Barry number, so you're talking over the music, but we don't want you to talk about love, which is what... That's Barry's domain.
No.
He's Mr. Love. We want
Leave
you to,
it alone.
We want you to talk Barry White style about something more mundane, like, I don't know, anything like, I don't know, tracksuit pants, something like... In fact, I'll give that one a go. If we got any Barry music, just give us a bit of Barry. Mmm, baby. You know how I love a woman in tracksuit pants, wandering aimlessly round Coles on a Saturday morning, sucking on a Stivo. Mmm, baby, be my Venus in tracky decks. See, that kind of thing. That's the kind of gear we're chasing.
But Tone, to me, that still could have almost been a Barry White song.
Yeah, so that's right. It's got to be even more mundane. Mm. Anything. Just pluck something out of it, like, I don't know, a pineapple. A Barry White number about a pineapple.
I'll give that a go.
You want to have
the... We got some music, Gracie?
Oh, baby. When I rub my hand across your rough, prickly skin, there's a firmament in my loins that needs your citrusy love, baby. I've got a tropical wonderland in my pants, baby, and I want to take you there because you're the foxy lady of the fruit bowl. I need some of your vitamin L. That's love, baby.
That's the kind
am
of
I in
thing.
The, am I in the, is he in the right terrain? There's a Sonny Discman with your name on it out the back, Mickey. So call us now with your attempts at being Barry White on 1-800-657-657. You too, Angel of Harlem on Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. Today we're looking for Australia's Barry White. Who have we got first, Mickey?
We've got Andrew on the line. G'day, Andrew.
G'day.
How are you, mate?
Not bad, you guys?
That's the way. Now, what are you going to be talking about?
Spark plugs.
Spark plugs, all right. Now, we're going to play some Barry White music for you. And you're going to eulogise over the top of it about spark plugs for us. You ready to go?
Okie dokie.
Give it a go.
Oh, baby. Oh, your spark plugs are so dirty. I'll have to pull out my wrench and take out one at a time. Oh, baby, I'm going to put in some brand new clean spark plugs.
Yes, okay, I think we get the idea there.
It's great, Andrew. Sounds exactly like my answering machine message.
Okay, have we got Susie? Susie, are you with us? Susie, are you there? Suze, have we lost Suze? Because I was looking forward to hearing a female Barry White.
Okay, we'll have to soldier on, eh, Gracie? Yep.
Have we got Stephen on board? Stephen, what are you going to talk about Barry style?
I think the toothbrush and the cleaning of the teeth.
Oh, yes. Well, it's sounding very raunchy already. Here's the music. Take it away.
Oh, baby, when I hold you in my hand and feel that soft grip, I take you in my mouth. Oh, baby, you froth and bubble, and I swirl around the juices. And then with a splurt and a splat...
Yes, I think we... I think we get the idea, Stephen, and of course, you know, you're a dentist, we can't show your face, and it's just as well. I hope people weren't tuning in halfway through that. They'll think they've accidentally got one of those 0005 numbers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Somebody's freaking the radio
nice
station.
Job, Steve.
Yes, right. You're a potential Barry, but have we got Dave there? Dave,
are sure
you...
do.
What are you going to talk about Barry White style?
Tupperware.
Tupperware. Oh, it's sounding good already. Take it away.
Oh, baby. plastic. The way you seal in the freshness of my tomatoes, lettuce, and cheese. I want to party with you all night with all my friends. Ooh, you keep sausages fresh for weeks. My sweet Tupperware.
Yes, yes.
Oh, very nice.
I think we may have found Australia's Barry White. Dave, it's you. Have you got any Barry White-style gear in your wardrobe?
No, I don't really, apart from a lot of gold chains.
Oh, well, you're halfway there, and you've got the Sonny Discman.
Hey, you're guilty.
And you can just hang it around your neck, and you're looking like Barry just right there.
I'll be whacking Barry White on all day.
Okay, good on you.
Hide the Tupperware.
And thanks for playing Radio Gladiators. Stick around, people. It gets even raunchier, because in the next hour we'll be talking with Rachel Berger. In this hour of Martin Malloy Foolish Behaviour, we fire up the Martin Malloy Incinerator. But next up, we're opening the Yap with Rachel Berger. And who do we like, people? Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
SAFM.
It's the Black Sorrows on Martin Malloy. We've put Barry White behind us now. Let's get into the second hour. And, well, it's time to welcome somebody who I'm going to describe simply as one of Australia's most beloved comedians. She's Rachel Berger! Do you feel beloved, Rachel? Have you reached?
It's a very strange word for, you know, the Jewish woman, beloved, you know. I mean, if it was Good Friday, I'd feel good about it. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, see, once you win
Beloved, it sounds a bit fake to me.
Yeah. Mm. Ernie Sigley, he'd get away with beloved.
Yeah, but you two, I don't know.
We're not beloved yet. We're working towards
beloved. You're not buying it from us, is that what you're saying?
I don't buy that.
We'll ask you again at the end of the interview and maybe you've come around.
Oh, yeah, I probably will be seduced by the lyrical waxing, whatever that word is.
Well, if we put the Barry White music on. Because now, we were asking people to be Barry White. Are you a Barry fan?
Truly am. Mm. I mean, you know, I'm not faking it. Why am I talking like it's like, like you're really far away?
Yeah. Just over here, Rachel.
Sorry. Yes, I get up and do things with the Barry White CD.
Oh, you've got one of his?
Oh, yeah, I've got one myself. I put it on order and spent a long time waiting and longing for it for my beloved Barry.
Do you want to have a crack at a bit of it? Just give us the music, Gracie, and Rach, if you'd like to do it, Barry.
I have to wait for the lyrics, though.
Yeah. Oh, there's no lyrics. It's just about 15 minutes of this.
Just silence.
Oh, yeah, but this is the kind of...
Rachel Berger.
Oh, I've never sighed publicly before. I don't think I've ever sighed before at all.
Oh, look, I think we've heard enough, Barry.
It's too racy. It's too steamy.
But one thing about... He's not funny, though.
Barry?
Yeah.
Well, he's not known for his gags.
No.
He doesn't come out and just open with, you know, I've just... had a funny thing happen to me on the way to...
No, but I think he'd be even more seductive if he was, because they say that a sense of humour is the sexiest thing in a man.
Mm. Well, Barry, I think, would disagree.
I was just thinking, well, bad luck for me and Tone. Hey, now, Rachel, you've done a fair bit of this stand-up caper, and we're interested in finding out, of going right back, getting into the game as a female comedian, because it's a lot easier now, I'd suggest, than maybe it was when you were starting out. Well, how did you get your start?
I went along to La Joke at the Last Laugh, like most people, 1986.
Mm. This is in Melbourne. The comedy capital it was in those days.
Yeah, the comedy, I was trying to think, what's the word for the centre, epicentre? Mm-hmm. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Because English is my second language. You've got to remember that. It is.
Okay.
Hebrew was my first, and that runs the other way. It's sort of left to right, so it's a little bit confusing.
You're coming around.
Yeah. It's all the little dots that English doesn't have that I miss, because they tell you what vowels it is.
No, I see.
It's 1986, La Joke. Got up and did a piece on primal therapy. I'd never performed in that way before.
Yeah.
And it was shocking, but to my eternal fortune, there was a bunch of psychiatrists, or there were a group of psychiatrists, or a flock of psychiatrists, whatever you call it.
Whatever the collective noun is.
Mm-hmm. For psychiatrists, probably angst of psychiatrists. Something like that. Because there was been a conference on at the Hilton, and they really got into it. So I thought I was brilliant, and why had I waited so long? You know, I thought, I just killed, and it was like my first gig.
Especially when they came up at the end and started giving you their card.
That's
thought, that's oh, right. They're comedy producers.
Right. No, so they thought you'd tailored the material specially for
them. I think so. And yeah. Probably other people laughed because they were there. But then I was told by the then manager, Tori McBride, she said, now, you've done very well on your first one, but the 10th did have the second night blues, and I didn't understand that. And, of course, then I proceeded to die every week for about 9 months.
And no psychiatrists inside?
No, it's like, no, they just left me there on my own to deal with my fear and anxiety. Yeah. Okay. So that's how it all started, and I just persevered because every so often I had that one piece that went well. But people used to use me as a kind of the test at the laugh. You know, Ricky McKenna would sort of say to people who's the runs it, so, you know, look, if Rachel Berger can do it, anybody can. Because really, I mean, I just
became
kept dying,
a yardstick,
yeah. Well, probably, you know, 2'9" stick. But it was really hard. But every so often it would work, and the kind of jubilation, oh, my God, it really is good, just sort of kept me going.
Don't have to get a proper job for a while.
And how times have changed, because now, like, people come to see you.
I know, and I always freak out just the same.
Now you're a beloved yardstick.
I'm beloved 2'9", yes.
Okay. Well, stick around, Rach, because we want to have more of a yak with you.
Yeah.
And we'll be back in just a moment with Yardstick Rachel Berger on Martin Malloy. Fine Young Cannibals on Martin Malloy. Rachel Berger's on the panel today. And, Rachel, I know you're into politics. You follow it. You're into it. What do you make of the Carmen Lawrence situation? Have you been keeping an eye on that?
I've been keeping an eye and an ear to it, and I don't know. It's making me... It's a bit scary, really. In fact, I actually read that there was a new phobia called... It's not a new phobia. It's just one I hadn't heard about called phobophobia, which is the fear of fear itself. So how's that?
Imagine being lumbered with that.
Well, exactly, because every time you even think about having an anxiety attack, you probably will have one, because the fear of having one will provoke you to have one. So it's really scary, I think, the whole thing.
Ooh, can you get shots for that?
Yeah, probably more like you suck on something.
Okay.
So you can't scream.
I'm going to play the Barry White again, Grace.
Maybe they could give you a patch for it, like they do for nicotine.
That'd be good,
wouldn't it? Just seeps in slowly. The fear's dying down.
What's the patch for? Oh, fear of fear itself.
That's
right. Oh, not that again.
Yeah, it works better than the Nicorettes or whatever it is, you know, that people use. But I think it's why I've been thinking about this phobia is because, you know, these people that keep sort of thinking there's something when they're not, it's like there's a name for it. It's like called having delusions. And I was amused when I read a quote of Carmen Lawrence's where she said, some of the things I don't recall didn't happen. And you're kind of going, excuse me? How do you know? If you don't remember, you know, and then we had, you know, the lawyer who you know, in South Australia who wasn't a lawyer, and then same in Melbourne, and then, you know, this other woman who wrote the book, Helen. And I thought, you know, really... Carmen, this is a condition. It's called delusional lying. That's a condition. So I thought we could have, like, Carmen Lawrence Demidenko next. You know? She could write the sequel, The Hand That Forged the Signature.
Well, I think it's just simply an attack of the Demidenkos. Now that the word Demidenko is sort of passed into the language,
I think
if somebody's on the shelf, they've just got an attack of the Demidenko. It's as simple as that.
Yes, I thought they could have a new range of, you know, like hair products, and they could be the Demidenko Blonde, you know.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, there's that great new film, Dumb and Demidenko.
Yes, let's not forget that one.
Have we got the drummer? No drummer today. When is that drummer going to start coming in on cue?
Exactly. Yes, it's pretty scary times. Pretty scary times.
Now, have you got a book in the works, Rachel? Most comedians who come in on the show working on a book. Have you got one?
No. Well, there's one in my head. There's one in my head, but the patch is on right now. It comes off.
I'll tell you what.
I'm too scared to think about the book because it frightens me.
You've got patches to stop you writing books. They've got that for comedians, have they? Now, I tell you what, something I've noticed, if you haven't got a whole book in you, you can just put out a diary. You just put out the Rachel Berger diary.
I thought you were saying put out a brochure.
A pamphlet.
A prospectus.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
the Rachel Berger prospectus. Yeah, that's good. I think I'll work on that.
No, you think about this for an idea. It's the Rachel Berger diary, and it's just blank pages, mostly blank pages, and then one joke about every 7 days.
That's a good idea. That's about right, actually. One joke every 7, but there could be tips, you know how diaries have tips for behaviour? You know, when you wake up in the morning, don't look in the mirror. You know, stuff like that.
Very sensible.
You know that first time when you look and think, oh, my God, what happened to my face? Have you ever thought? I'm sure you've thought that.
Yeah, we've thought that, but
that's not just confined to first thing in the morning, Rachel, I'm afraid.
But it doesn't matter when you work on the radio.
No, absolutely.
It doesn't matter. We look but like we... Jason Priestley and Leg Perry to a lot of our audience.
Exactly.
And little do they realise it's, well, it's another story entirely.
And this is really the secret destination of Linda Evangelista today.
Have you spotted Linda while she's been in town?
It seems everybody else has, but I haven't.
Mm. Yes. Ever thought of colouring your hair every second day? Linda style?
Yes, the Demidenko style. That style, Demidenko the very blonde, style. blonde.
Yeah. I thought she was in the police witness protection scheme, let alone a supermodel.
Supermodel.
What's she done
I
now?
I don't know.
Oh, where did that term come from?
Sorry?
Where did that term come from? Any ideas?
Supermodel. No.
No. Okay.
You can be a supermodel, and then I've noticed, reading the rags, is your Uber model. I think that's even better than
Uber
supermodel.
Uber model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you an Uber comic?
Yes, I'm an Uber comic, yes.
Good on you. Yeah. All right, Rach, we've got to go to some better music and more of it now, so thanks for coming in today.
Mm. Thank you for having me.
And it was on Sunday night.
And it was beloved.
See?
It was beloved.
She's come around.
Haven't we learned? Learned a lot of new words today here on Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy on SAFM. Star.
So, yes, time to sign off here. And thanks to our guests today, Rachel Berger and Will Carling, and all our radio gladiators. As always, a big end-of-week salute to our producer, Gracie.
Hey, Gracie.
Our assistant, Emma.
Emma.
All the eggheads and button pushers around the network.
On your eggheads.
The woman who does the voices, we can't, Kath Garrett, and the man in the glass booth, Pete Smith. Now, next week, our guests include, and listen to this for a lineup, Kyle McLaughlin's going to be with us. We're going to have Amanda Keller.
Hey, Amanda.
Melissa Etheridge.
Hey, Melissa.
Peter Rose Thorne.
Peter Rose Thorne.
And Meatloaf.
On your loafy.
They're all going to be popping in for an intellectual chit-chat on Martin Malloy. But until next week, people, in the words of Barry White.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.